Lord, if we waited for every circumstance in our life to be fine, if we waited for us to really feel like we're thankful some days, Lord, we'd never come into your presence. We cannot wait for that. Just as you were thankful on the night in which you were betrayed and you gave thanks, Lord, give us a thankful heart, Lord Jesus. Because thanks says, God, I trust you. I believe in you. I trust your promises, even though people's promises don't come to pass. I trust you because you see the end from the beginning. And because 50 years ago is but a brief second in your sight. God, have your way, I pray. And bless the children. Lord, may they know. Lord, you said, suffer the little children and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Let them know today in a special way how precious they are to the Master. And we thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Third part of the tabernacle, the veil. I know a family, well, now the parents are gone, but in their home, this is the way that they had their home. Well, it was the wife's design. And she decided that your house has to be absolutely clean without any obstruction from people, that it has to be kind of a show place, I think, is what she was thinking. So she had plastic over all of the furniture. You couldn't come into the living room and have family time. The husband had to shave in the basement. You owned the house, but you couldn't really live in the house. Does that sound? I mean, I appreciate people want a clean home and we want a clean church. We believe it honors Christ. There's no question about that. But you still have to live there, right? And when God set up the tabernacle, the traveling tent of his presence, of his home, he had certain qualifications. And one of them, so we're going to talk about the veil today. A veil was put up to keep people out of the Holy of Holies. Matter of fact, the second part, the holy place, which is right before the Holy of Holies, only the priests could come in there. So the general populace couldn't come in there either. And certainly they could not come into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could come in once a year to offer atonement for the sins. And if that high priest did anything that was not in accord with the scripture, with what God had set up for that Holy of Holies, he'd be struck immediately. No appeal, nothing. And they had bells on the bottom, so the people outside could tell. If they heard the bell, they knew the high priest. He was gone. Now, they couldn't go in, physically retrieve him. They had to use instruments to get him out of there. That's how holy the Holy of Holies was. God didn't put plastic on his furniture. He put himself there. That's what he did. And so I'd like you to turn to Exodus 26, 31 to 37. I'm going to give different pieces of the tabernacle, and throughout the teaching, I will pull it all together so you can see the fuller picture, because it's a fabulous picture of who God is. Is and what he has done for us. 31. Make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen with cherubim worked into it by a skilled craftsman. And by the way, the skilled craftsman, Brian, you don't even know that you set up for the message again. You're getting good at that. The Bible said in another portion of the scripture, it said they had to be skillful. They had to be exact, but they had to be willing. Do you know, for all of your talent and all your gifting, if you're not willing, God doesn't honor it. You can't do it out of I have to. It has to be done out of willingness. That's what took Jesus to the cross, was willingness. He didn't have to. He wanted to. And hang it with gold hooks on four posts of acacia wood, overlaid with gold and standing on four silver bases. What is silver? In the Bible, it stands for redemption. You can only stand in Christ because of the redemption of Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ. What has to touch the ground has to be the silver. It has to be the blood of Jesus. That's what we stand in. How many are glad about that? I better hear at least more than none amens. Okay? Hang the curtains from the clasps and place the ark of the testimony behind the curtain, and the curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. Put the atonement cover on the ark of the testimony in the most holy place, and place the table outside the curtain on the north side of the tabernacle, and put the lampstand opposite on the south side. For the entrance to the tent, make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, which is why I'm wearing purple and red and blue, just because I want to. Okay. And finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer. Make gold hooks for the curtains and five posts of acacia wood overlaid with gold, and cast five bronze bases for them. Bronze stands for judgment. Jesus stands in the judgment, and he touched it for us. Keep in mind all the imagery of the tabernacle. It will give you an absolute perfect view of the cross, of the redemption of Christ, of the resurrection, and everything that God wants to do. The tabernacle, the dwelling, the traveling home of God on this earth, where he allowed the followers to get to know him a little bit and to see what they called the Shekinah glory of God come down. People from far away could see when the glory fell. You know what's amazing to me? There's non-saved people that can see the glory of God, and the Christians can't. That's a real shame. We should be able to see the glory of God. When an unsaved person comes up to me and says, I can feel God's presence, and why aren't you saved? You know that that's what God can do. So the veil, the Hebrew word poriketh, means a curtain and a screen, and it comes from a word perek, meaning harshness and severity. As I said, anybody trying to get beyond the veil, except the high priest once a year, would be immediately killed. There was no appeal process. There was no, oh, gee, I didn't know which way I was going. It was very severe, very severe. Comes from a word for separation. And it also agrees with the word paraku, which means that which habitually shuts off. You look at that, I don't know about you. When I was a kid, when I saw a sign that said, keep off the grass, I wanted to go on the grass. I decided, what are you telling me I can't do it for? He said, you cannot go beyond this very beautiful veil. You cannot go on your own. Anybody that tries it will be sorry. And then we have the God of the great colors. You know, he's the greatest colorist in the world. You'll never find a better colorist than God. Look at your sunrise. I don't see it, but I see the sunset. And it's exquisite. And it's different every day. And it's in different shades. And it's fabulous. You will never find a better colorist than God himself. And so he says, make it of these colors. Blue. The Hebrew word means violet thread, but it really means blue. Blue stands for heaven. You know what the Holy of Holies is? It is the presence of God on earth. It is what we understand, the fullness of paradise, of the place where God resides. Of course he'd put blue in here. He wants people to know that ultimately through that veil is heaven, is God's presence. That's what heaven is. That's why heaven comes down and glory fills our soul, because Jesus came here. Purple. The Hebrew word means kind of a red purple, crimson. I love purple. I know a lot of people love it. Purple speaks of majesty. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He deserves the finest, the most exquisite, the most brilliant of all that can be done. Yet he came as a baby in a feeding trough to feed us eternally. I'm telling you, go deeper in this great Savior. Then the scarlet, that's the passion of the Master. That's what makes his heart beat for us. Also, on this beautiful veil, the skilled work of cherubim was put inside so it could be seen. The law first mentioned for cherubim is in Genesis 3:24, when Adam and Eve got the first eviction, well, the second, because Lucifer was kicked out, but out of the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says, and God placed cherubim with flaming swords outside of the entrance to the Garden of Eden so they could not go in and get to the Tree of Life. Why? Because in a fallen state, if they would have eaten of the Tree of Life, they would have remained dead. And God wanted to protect them. And so he put up the cherubim in their place. They guard the holiness of God. That's their purpose. And that flaming sword, I love this. The flame is all the way through the Bible, folks. We've talked about it in theophany. The burning bush, where was God? Where was the theophany? In the flame. When the Ten Commandments were given, where was the flame? As it ascended in fire upon the mountain. When the Hebrew children were in that lovely fiery furnace, and they weren't baking cookies, who was in there with them? The fourth one, like the Son of Man. His feet have gone through the fire. Telling you, if you ever think you're alone, take a peek, because Jesus is there, if you're following him. And sometimes even people that aren't following him, that's how gracious he is. Then we even see it into the New Testament in Pentecost. I love this. The flaming tongues of fire come down upon the people, the cloven tongues. That's Jesus guarding the holiness of Pentecost. How many know that the work of God and the work of the Holy Spirit is not a circus? It needs to be under God's holiness and God's protective custody. So it is done under his authority. The cherubim. And this veil is going to hang on four pillars of acacia wood. We talked about it last week. That type of wood, shittim wood. I didn't put it in your study, but it was in last week's. Grows in a dry place. Thorny wood. Grows about 20 feet tall. It's a kind of wood that is gnarled, is reminiscent of the iniquity. The Bible says we're born with a bent to sin, and it has to be straight through the repentance and following Jesus Christ. It hangs on four pillars. Four talks about, is reminiscent also of the four gospel messages, the fourfold gospel that gives us the full account of the personal life and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Overlaid with gold are not only the hooks and everything. Anything in here, most of it is overlaid with gold. That stuff's heavy. And it's the most precious. How many are glad God's not a cheapskate? That's what I like. Now, I'm all for getting something for nothing if you can. Well, that's what salvation is, actually. But it certainly isn't cheap, is it? It hangs on four pillars, and it's finely twisted linen. Finely twisted linen. The Hebrew word means to twine and to twist. Did you know something? That when God put his word together, he twisted himself in it. He is intrinsically in it. That threefold cord is not easily broken. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're twisted together. on that cord that cannot be broken. I don't care what people say. You cannot destroy life. You cannot destroy God. Finely twisted. This is Egyptian linen, and it is woven. Into this beautiful, beautiful veil is woven the holiness of God. And I guarantee you, God notices it, because he's the one who created it. Now, it said also in the 31st verse, the skillful workers, I like this, Kossad says, to think, to account, to invent, and have a cunning work. Do you know something about the service of the Lord and the work he does? There's a mind behind the work. There's a mind behind it. When you look at creation, you know there's a mind behind it. When you look at the details and the furnishings of the tabernacle, you know that there was a thought process. He didn't just throw it together. It's not like abstract art. You know what abstract art is? Take a bucket of paint and throw it on the wall. And some people are going to find great meaning in that. I find a big mess. I don't think it's particularly attractive, but everybody's different. Okay. This word, the primitive root, means to plait, to weave, and to plot. Again, the mind behind the work. You think your life is disconnected? You think it has no meaning? Are you kidding me? Each one of us is a creative work of the grace of God. And if we tap into the interior, like I said in the first time, about the outer covering of the tabernacle, that would turn a lot of people off because it looked disgusting. Badger skin. You get inside the tabernacle and you see the exquisiteness of the furnishings. Hey, go deeper inside yourself and see what God has placed there. You're going to be surprised. You really are. I love it. Also in Isaiah 53:5, remember the scripture says, and we esteemed him not? This is the same Hebrew word for that. We did not esteem that skillful man who gave his life for us. Guess what, folks? The one who died for us was the architect. The one who died for us made the plans. The one who died for us put himself in harm's way. Let's esteem him more and more all the time. It said, they hung, not the people, the veil. This word nalthan means to give, to put, and to set. God put the stars in place. God put the planets in place. Can he hang a curtain? You bet. God put it all in place, and it had to be hung. And then it had to be embroidered with the cherubim. I love this. This needlework is fabulous. And I'm sure that the ladies that do the sewing and all that finery work appreciate embroidery. I love embroidery. I think it's just absolutely fabulous. God has good taste. Look in the mirror someday. Boy, he created Dar. Imagine how happy he must be. Right? He created Tracy. And she's back with us with her children. Yippee-doo. He even loves Herb Hart. Look at yourself and see his mighty works. Okay. The detail of him. Now, I want you to turn. Well, I'm going to hold you off on turning for a second. I'm going to go to Ezekiel here. We're talking about the veil. Then we're talking about the skillful work. Now we're going to talk about the person. Everything in the scripture, every major component, always leads us to Jesus Christ. Always. If the Word of God doesn't lead you to Jesus Christ, who is the Word, you're reading the wrong book. I'm telling you. Because it all leads to him. And the Bible talks about the wonderful cherubim, and I'm focusing on that because it gives the face and it gives a physical appearance. In Ezekiel, different portions, I'm not going to read them, but it said this about the cherubim. They had hands underneath them, and they had wings, of course, and the face of a lion, and of a man, and of an ox, and an eagle. The four pillars, this is the fourfold gospel right here, folks. The lion stands for Matthew, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, who is coming sooner than people think. The ox stands for the servant, the humble servant, the book of Mark. You read the book of Mark, there's no flash in there, there's nothing. There's no arguments. The minute it's to be done, it's done. Reminds me of Jan Eisenching. Minute it's done. The man is the book of Luke. Reminds us of the Son who came in flesh. That's why you have the bigger account of the birth of Jesus Christ from the doctor who would give the details. And then the eagle is the book of John, soaring into heaven, the divine Son of God. Why is this important? Because the cherubim remind us of the fourfold gospel of Jesus Christ and who he is. He is the veil. He is the veil. He is the holiness of God. He is the exquisite beauty and color of everything you can imagine. He is the royalty. He's the King of Kings. He is heaven on earth. And he came to earth so we could go to heaven. He is the scarlet, as he gave his life for us. And on the pillars of acacia and the shittim wood, we see the cross. And those hands underneath are the hands that took our sins and took the nails. Never forget the hands, folks. That's the personal touch of heaven to us. Now I want you to turn to Matthew 27, because this is really important in the completion of the veil. The Holy of Holies, the most holy place on earth. No question about it. In Matthew 27, 50 and 51, this is in Herod's temple. We had the tabernacle, then Solomon's temple, Zerubbabel's, and we get on into the New Testament to Herod's temple, which is slightly different, but it still had the veil that was up. And Josephus, who was one of the secular historians, said he believed it was about 4 inches thick. 4 inches thick. It's not an easy thing to tear. And you know, sowers, what do? You cut from the bottom, don't you? Tear from the bottom and go up. God starts at the top, because access is only given from heaven. Man cannot secure access, only God can. And so Matthew 27, this is the death of Christ, the crucifixion. And when Jesus had cried out again with a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. Nobody took it from him. He gave it, again, the gift of eternal life for us. And at that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. I mean, they knew something's happening. When God's creation takes a hit, you know that the creator of the universe took the hit first. There's no question. The Greek word here for veil is a word that means kata, which means down. And the other word, pedanunai, means to spread out. So he came down and he spread out. It was torn open. He was flayed like a dead animal, exposing the Holy of Holies. And guess what? I love this. I've loved this for 40 years since I learned it. When the veil was rent at that time, there was nothing in the Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant had been taken years ago, although the book of Revelation reminds us the Ark of the Covenant's in heaven. God's going to translate. He's got his own transportation system. He'll get it into his presence. He'll protect his holiness. There's no pot of manna that's supposed to be inside the Ark. of covenant. The Ten Commandments aren't there either. The law they seem to want to follow, it ain't there. It's dead. Everything they followed, when it was exposed, it didn't exist anymore. They were following emptiness. That's what religion is. That's what ritualism is on its own. Jesus, his body is the veil that is torn, the holiness of God ripped apart for each one of us so we could have access into the presence of God. How many are grateful for his absolute sacrifice? The crucifixion, and notice the word fix in there, fixed the eternal problem. Gave us entrance into the Holy of Holies. In the Old Testament, if any of us, including me, would have come up here, I'd have been just struck by lightning. But God allows us into his presence, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That means Daddy. You don't have to go into the presence of God scared to death, because he'll hold you. He'll keep you. I don't know about you, but I'm glad the Lord didn't put plastic all over me. It's kind of suffocating. He put himself there. That's what a shepherd does. They lay down their life for the sheep. They cover the sheep with their own body. Jesus laid himself out for each one of us so we could come into his holy presence and come to heaven, the great place of paradise that no man can get there on his own. How many are glad Jesus was the veil? How many are glad you don't have to serve a dead God and a dead belief system? How many are glad that's empty, Jesus is alive, his fullness reigns, and we can worship him? All because he is the skillful craftsman. He's the one who came willingly for us. Heavenly Father, we cannot begin to imagine all of the details in your word, but as we see them continue to build, we can see, Lord, the glory of God. You came down here so we could come there. And God, we can't thank you enough for doing that. Thank you so much, Lord, that your body was ripped open. And inside was found the glory of God. You never ceased to be God. That's why it couldn't truly kill you. What it did was bring us to life. And then you resurrected so you could share it with us and remind the devil and everybody else that serves him, that's the wrong choice. I came to give life and that more abundantly. Father, I pray that you would take us deeper with your words and give us a greater appreciation of who you really are and what you've truly done for us, that we can go beyond the veil, not because of us, but because you allowed yourself to be torn asunder. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us into the holiness of God. May we respect it. May we treat it with the reverence it deserves, but may we also come in like a child and know we can sit on your lap and enjoy our Abba, Father. Lord, bless, I pray, through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to close with a hymn that's for Easter, but my opinion is Easter is every day because resurrection is all the time. Christ the Lord is risen today. Third verse, the best. Christ has opened paradise. I love that. That is a scripture. When my father was dying, I had gone to visit him. And because he couldn't hear, I had to speak very specifically and detailed to him so he wouldn't hear the wrong thing. He thought we were the morgue detail. And so I didn't want him to think I was the death angel. And so I was talking to him about paradise. I said, Dad, there were two on the other side, one on either side of the cross. Why would he make it so hard for you? All you have to do is accept what he's done for you and ask him to forgive you. which he ultimately did, and I'm so grateful because the Lord brought him out of a coma, and which they said, we got a call, he'll be dead in 2 hours. What kind of watch are they using? But anyway, I got there, and the only time I've ever done it in my life, I went in there with my two sisters that are Christian, and I felt I was to pray to his spirit, not appeal to his mind, because that was going to get in the way. And I said, I believe the resurrection and the life is here. Come out of the coma. And he came out and said, what's going on? I said, you've been in a coma, buddy. I said, did you talk to the Lord and give your life to him? And he said, yeah. And I knew he did because he didn't lie about those things to me. And I realized years later, God didn't tell me that and didn't bring him out for him because he was already safe. He brought him out for me and my family so we'd know he was safe. That's the mercy of God. And so one night on April 2nd, almost to midnight, I opened up a Christian magazine. In the front of it, I still have the cover. I ripped it off and kept it. It said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And I knew he would die that day. And he did. Christ has opened paradise. Please stand. Glad he opened paradise. Hey, that's the Garden of Eden, folks. That's the reality of it. That's what it is. Never again to be thrown out, but to live with him forever. Fabulous. Fabulous. So I'm going to ask somebody who's given testimony about how the Lord has touched his life. Bobby Lucan, come up and close in prayer. We thank God that he has grabbed you.
Thank you, Pastor. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we come to your altar today and praise your holy name for what you have done for each and every one of us. We pray, Lord, that you can take away the stumbling blocks, take away the fear. We know there's a paradise out there waiting for us. Don't let anybody else say anything different. Lord, we know your time is near, and we just anticipate our journey to heaven to be with you, Father. We ask you now to be with us this week, Lord. Let us praise your name and be an example to others out there what Christ can do in a person's life. Keep us from harm, keep us from sin, and bring us back again next Sunday. We praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.